This is session 5 of Financial Freedom.
The focus of this call is the second part of the adult section of our model that we're using here, and it is compassion.
Jory's going to do the self-connection exercise.
This is the part of the call where you have an opportunity to connect with your own experience and come into the present moment. So take a moment right now just to notice how you feel, the physical sensations of your body, just to tune into right here, right now. Give yourself permission to feel whatever you feel. Just consider what is important to you in this very moment, having arrived in this moment in time, in this place, right now. And peeling down from there, what's the meaning, the deeper meaning of what's important to you? Is there something even more elemental and deeper that you're valuing right now? Kind of peel down, take the little journey into the depths of your being until you arrive at something that's universal and an essential element of your being, of being human. And just savor that. Let's do a little thought experiment. You connect with yourself. Just imagine that there is someone in front of you who you have a relationship with that involves money. Maybe it's someone you work with. Maybe it's a partner or a friend, or maybe even the cashier at the supermarket. And imagine that this person gets triggered, gets clutchy about something around money. So they're feeling some upset, getting lost in their own process around something to do with money or things. Notice how that is for you. Give yourself permission to feel whatever you feel. And give them permission to be having their own human experience right now. See if you can grow your heart big enough to just let them be just as they are and to have some acceptance of their humanness, their own innocence, their pain. If it feels really intense to you, feel free to just imagine taking a step back, giving them space, and giving you space as well. Just be in this field where something has happened, something has been triggered. hold yourself and them with compassion. And then let that go and come back into this present moment. And in a moment, we're going to do a little check-in.
I'd just love to hear a little bit, just to kind of touch in with each of you about how you are in this moment as this class has been unfolding for you. And maybe there's some questions that you would like us to consider or some feedback you'd like us to consider as we have just passed the midway point of this class. I'd love to hear from everybody. Whoever's willing, we'll start with you.
That was actually a kind of a challenging practice to imagine, and probably because I chose imagining my son about money, and that's not an unexperienced thing in my life, so it was quite alive and real. I really appreciated that suggestion, Jory, that we could step back, and I found myself doing that to be able to hold us both with compassion. Where I am in the course is a mixture of knowing that, you know, it's so true that what we get out of something is very much connected to what we put into it. And I just have this kind of regret that if I were to, just this sense or this belief story that if I were to take the care and the mindfulness, you know, devote the time to really unpack each of the practices and the homeworks that you've given us, I believe that this could be a much richer experience for me. And I'm really pleased that I have the recordings that will allow me to do that in a more leisurely way over the months ahead. I feel some sadness that I have not taken as much time as I would have liked to devote to this, to the work, to the infrastructure of this program. And the other piece is probably one of the reasons I haven't done that. Well, the main reason is that I don't see myself as having much spare time for anything. But there is another thing that's alive that I think might be true for others as well, and that is that I just have so much baggage around money. It has kind of that survival emotional trigger. Maybe I'm still in the, you know, the infant stage of the whole money process, money maturity, but that has inhibited me from just relaxing and taking it in and moving forward, still kind of clenching a bit.
I appreciate your checking in. Thank you. You're live.
I'm delighted to be here. Just the connection, if I did nothing and just came here, just the connection with you all and both of you as facilitators is just really of great value to me because it keeps me connected with myself and being on the, I don't want to say on the edge, but just like keeps me being like a pioneer in my life and being mindful and just paying attention. And so I'm coming with great excitement just for the opportunity to use the information I have, including everything that's been reflected back to me in this call.
Thank you. You're live. Welcome to the call.
Something came up on the self-connection exercise that surprised me. I'm 65 and retired, and I'm on Social Security. I observed that I've had this attitude of, well, I'm not going to change my income much, but I had this insight that there's some kind of jackal about I cannot make any more money, I'm not allowed to. So I just started to get that insight just on this self-connection. So making notes about looking into that. So I just want to see what jackals were in my way there of saying, you're not allowed to work anymore or something like that. I haven't developed it. It's just a little shining light of insight that I want to look at some more.
Thanks. I have this image of this little child who's been hiding behind the couch, who's been talking to you and you hadn't noticed, and all of a sudden you're becoming aware, and that's very exciting.
You're live. Go ahead. Welcome to the call.
The check-in exercise, the self-connection exercise, you know, imagining a conversation with somebody about money, that's challenging. Or well, that person may be triggered, maybe I'm triggered too. It was really timely for me because I had a conversation this week with my ex-husband. We still co-own a house, and it's a major financial burden for both of us. Neither one of us really wants to approach that. This course has been helpful to me in that I even brought up the conversation, even though I knew it was going to be not a pleasant conversation. Realizing that I'm going to have to face it and cannot stick my head in the sand indefinitely about this issue.
So you're finding some resources inside yourself and some almost like self-trust to be able to move forward. Thank you.
You're live. Welcome to the call.
Today I decided to sit down and really take part and try to connect, and felt grateful for the ease that I have around money that I didn't have before I took this class. The exercises we've done have been very meaningful for me. I was able to jettison a huge amount of garbage in the very beginning, ideas and beliefs that didn't serve me. I just feel so excited and jazzed and supported around what I've gotten and grateful. And I even had such a conversation with someone today and was able to sit with her pain and not feel triggered by it. At the end, I just said, I'm just really wishing for you that you can have this thing that you're wanting. And I noticed a shift in her around that, just saying something different about it, like not buying in to all the drama around the stuff that happens with money. So just really appreciating the ease and the flow and the ability I have now to make different decisions that allow for fun and freedom and enjoyment that I didn't experience before, because I was all caught up in this idea of how important money was. And instead being able to shift my awareness to that it's just a strategy that meets my needs. And if I can decide what my needs are and prioritize them, it makes a huge difference. And since we're going to talk about compassion, I wanted to share something that my little son said. And he was talking about a situation that he had with a friend in school who is dealing with a difficult emotional situation. And he was not quite knowing how to be around him because the little boy is kind of angry. And he had this sort of epiphany, and he had this moment, and he got quiet, and then he got still, and he said, Mommy, he goes, what is that word for feeling sad and courageous at the same time? I said, is it love? And he said, no, it's compassion.
Thank you. Appreciate him channeling that wisdom for us. Thank you very much.
And thank you. One of the things I'm really celebrating, one of the big pieces of this week, is that as we create our own liberation, we pay it forward to the people around us. So thank you for doing that with your friend.
Yeah, you're live. Welcome to the call.
I very much enjoyed the effects of the last class of that exercise we did with the skills. That was pretty powerful. I feel that flowing out into places in my life. And the exercise that we did today brought me to a place of discovery of confusion with a colleague, that I don't have enough information about the money in this situation in the system, and realizing that when I feel confusion, that triggers distance. That was a very important understanding. So I think my next step would be to offer to come closer to this person through the compassion exercise, which was great, but also in requesting a conversation for some visibility and clarity and transparency.
Thank you. Glad you're here. You're live. Go ahead. Welcome to the call.
I've enjoyed looking at my beliefs and continuing to question them and realize that they are just beliefs, especially doing this course around money. And I also wanted to mention, I'm reading a book that I really like called The Soul of Money by Lynn Twist. It's wonderful. You know, it has such a view of scarcity. We're kind of like fish with water. You know, humans, we swim in this scarcity culture. And you know, just taking some of the myths that she points out, like around scarcity, is that there's never enough. That's kind of the first one. There's just not enough for everyone, and that kind of means that someone has to win, someone has to lose. And then the second one is more is better. And when I step back and question that, I realize that I could spend less. And that's helped me, too, to keep that the diary of what I'm spending and being more aware of where the money is going. It isn't always that more and more has to come in. And then the third one is that's just the way it is. And that one leads to this idea of complacency. And it's just how it is. We can't do anything about it. I've really been enjoying questioning some of these things that, again, too, with the maturity timeline, that realizing that some of it came from childhood. I mean, some of these are really old and kind of inculcated, so I'm enjoying kind of shaking that up and questioning a lot of it. Thank you.
Thank you. Glad to hear. All right. Anything else hanging for anybody? If there's anything before we move into the lesson part?
Any questions or requests around anything we've covered so far that's not clear?
Go ahead. You're alive.
So I have a little addendum, and I wanted you, Jim and Jory, to know that I really have been getting a lot of value from the Matrix, a lot. And basically what I've done is I've blown up the size of it and put it at different places around my office and my house. So I would just, in that moment, I can just look at everything. And I just really like all the energy that went into it, and it's really been very useful for me, and I just wanted you to know that.
Wow, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So that seems to handle all the hands that are up. And, I'm really grateful that we could hear from everybody. So it was very rich for me to be able to hear each of you, how you're affected by the choices that we have made and how we're presenting the material and the timing of things. And the image that I have of this class for you and for me, and maybe for folks that are listening in, is that it's a little like that old cooking product that I remember when I was a kid, that you used to take chicken and you would take the raw chicken and you put it into a bag with some crumbs and then you would shake it up and then you would bake it. And it seems like this class is a lot like shaking and baking, that we're kind of, as we look at these beliefs and look at the kind of the attitudes about money, we're kind of shaking things up and then we bake them for a week with the practices and then we get a chance to savor what we're learning together and enjoy a feast about learning more about these skills that are hopefully going to lead to greater and greater sense of financial freedom and integrity for all of us. Yeah, so the lesson tonight is on this next phase of adulthood called compassion. I'd just like to kind of highlight that the thing I'm taking away from your check-in and taking away from my life for the last 2.5 weeks is that everything that happens around money is an opportunity to practice. Here I am coming in to settle an estate. Someone was talking about selling a house and dealing with all the possessions, and that's what I'm confronting now. And they're not even mine. They're all the things that my dad and my mom collected over the last 62 years of their lives, and they're all in this house here, and I've actually jumped through hoops all week in order to get the privilege of being able to be the executor of the estate. And to see how all my parents' money decisions are now kind of bubbling through and touching my life, as now I'll make 1,000,001 decisions over the next however many months it takes to figure out what to do with all these things. Because my dad really didn't prepare for his demise. He was kind of a physical immortalist, I believe. He thought he would live forever. So I get to now confront that. So lots of chances to practice this week and lots more to come. And what I notice about these chances to practice is that each one is an opportunity to utilize some form of empathy. Either I get empathy from Jory or another friend, or I give myself the gift of some self-empathy, and that as I sit in an empathic presence with either myself or with somebody else, it's like these layers of innocence come up that are related to these deep beliefs around what should and shouldn't happen about money and all these things that we've talked about. And how the pain that comes up is like the signal that I do need empathy. And when I pay attention to that signal and attend to the need for empathy, then I can kind of reinforce a feedback loop that supports my own presence, that supports basically these first few skills on the matrix that when I can utilize the power of empathy, it supports presence, observing, sense of being awake to the feelings that are coming up in my body. And that can lead me to sharpen my awareness of what my needs are and what the needs are of other family members, what Jory's needs are, what even the needs of people at the court or the insurance company or whoever I'm dealing with, to just stay in that needs consciousness. And then to be able to make requests, to get help, to I think that's one of the major growths that I'm celebrating is Jory made a request to me to ask her for help, and I did. So I really broke through a lot of my I have to do it myself stuff. It took me a little while, but I did break through and made more and more requests to get the support that I need, and I'm imagining that will continue. And then the last skill that's really been unfolding for me as I've been touching these events is self-acceptance, and to see that I'm doing the best I can in every moment to kind of navigate unknown territory. And that I'm really kind of awakening to how, even in my less than resourceful moments, I'm doing the best I can. What we'd like to offer you is some skill building in this empathic arena tonight. And we call this particular strategy or set of strategies the layers of empathy. And it's a little bit different than the way empathy is often taught in NBC circles. So we're hoping that it will give you a chance to try some new aspects of the skill of empathy, and also maybe even touching some beliefs about what you think empathy is. Who knows what might come out of this. And so for me, this whole notion of empathy begins with some spiritual clarity or some clarity about why I would like to empathize with another human being in the first place, what needs I'm hoping to meet by having a willingness to cultivate an empathic presence and be with somebody. So that's the first layer for me is kind of like a, we call it the zero step, to really get clear on why we would want to begin with and enter into an empathic relationship. So once we're clear of what needs we're hoping to meet by empathy, then we're going to practice with three different layers of empathy. And my inclination is actually to speak a little bit about the layer, maybe, you know, a few sentences, and then give you an opportunity to practice. The way that it will practice is that Jory, are you willing to kind of be the subject here? Jory will say a little bit about something that's up for her, and then each of you will have a chance to write down what you might say to Jory if you were moved to give sort of an indication of your empathic presence by verbal means. And then after you do that, we'll hear from a few of you, and we'll see what happens for Jory when she receives your verbal reflections or guesses or whatever it is that you decide to say.
Oh, I get to get some empathy. That sounds great.
So the first layer of empathy is really about acknowledging the other person's experience. So that's what we call it, acknowledging the other person's experience. And an acknowledgement, we're placing our attention squarely on the experience that the other person is reporting. We're paying particular attention to the observations that we're hearing. We might also be paying attention to the feelings that the other person might be reporting. We're also paying attention to the wishes that the other person might have, even their requests, if they happen to be more skilled NBC practitioners. And if we're led to, we're going to reflect just those things, what the person, what they're observing, what they're feeling, what they're wishing, or what they're requesting.
Yeah. So this layer is called acknowledging, just acknowledging where somebody is, meeting them on the path, right where they are, whether they're in the past or the future or wherever they are, just meeting them. It's about pacing, as opposed to trying to lead them anywhere. Often in MVC, we want to lead people to needs. And real empathy for me is just walking down the path with someone and having the trust in their connection to life and just being present with them.
The important thing about these, if you're led to acknowledge somebody with your own words, that we want to be as brief as possible in those acknowledgments. Because every moment that we speak, the person is beginning to shift their attention from their own heart to your words. And so reflections are brief and to the point. And they're generally not in the form of a question. They're more like acknowledging what is for the person. So, for example, this happens a lot with the two-year-old that I'm living with. It's a fantastic technique or a way to connect with young people as well as old people. And so Josh will say something like, you know, I don't want to take a bath. And he's kind of freaking out about it in a way. So I might just acknowledge what he just said. You wish you didn't have to take a bath. Or you're feeling upset, if I want to reflect what I understand his feeling to be. Or you wish you had another choice that you could make here. Wish you could keep playing with that toy. So those are some of the things that you can reflect.
The one thing we don't reflect are the judgments that can lead us to separation. So the things about what we think are wrong with somebody else or ourselves, or just those sort of innocent beliefs that actually stimulate pain. With a really experienced person, I might reflect back, so you're telling yourself that he should do something, or he is, or whatever. But that would be very rare. I don't do that with many people, but that would be if someone was conscious enough, because we're likely to fall into that innocence.
Great. So not seeing any questions, Jory, why don't you take a moment and decide what you'd like to be heard about. And the suggestion for each of you listening is that you listen to Jory and write down how you might want to acknowledge the experience that Jory is reporting.
So one of the things that's been going on this week is that there is so much to do. And several times I've spoken with people and we've decided I'll do something. And the next thing I get is that there's some sort of pain coming up for somebody, or there's some sort of discomfort with moving too quickly. And I've really been struggling within myself around this place of wanting to get stuff done, because it's just a huge project here, and then also wanting to respect that it's not all mine, actually. I'm playing with trying to be in a support role here and not push my own agenda, but there is that anxiety in me about just the massiveness of the job.
Great. Thanks, Jory. So just pausing there, offering you each the opportunity to write down what you might choose to say to Jory if you were listening to her. And when you have something written down, press 1 on your keypad. Okay, we've got a few guesses on the board. So let's listen to the ones that we have so far. And you can continue to write down the ones that you have if you like. And then after we listen to it, we'll check in with Jory and see how they're landing. So go ahead.
So what stood out for me among everything was that there was so much going on. There is so much going on for you, and you want to just stay in the flow with that and take care of everything so everything can get done. And yet there's so much going on that you see, and you're feeling some stirring and aliveness in you, and so you want to have that, I'm hearing that balance between taking care of yourself with this and still going with the flow and having everything run smoothly.
Okay, great. Thanks. Can I give you a little coaching?
Please.
Yeah, so maybe you could say all that in 5 words, especially early in the empathic process like this. You might try something like, so there's a lot going on for you.
I noticed the difference in those 2 comments. I was really trying to track you. I had actually disconnected some from myself as I was trying to track all the things you were saying. When you just said there's a lot going on, I could just feel myself go in and settle into that, yeah.
And giving empathy, giving the other person a chance to cure themselves or go inside of themselves.
Yes, and by saying the least number of words possible in the acknowledgement, we help the other person to kind of create more space within themselves. So we're saying just the least number of words possible to let the other person, the need that's really met by that, to just give the other person some reassurance that we're with them.
I'd like some clarification. Clarification is often with me, if I were writing something, I definitely can do that. But often in a verbal conversation, I haven't collected my thoughts yet, and it's happening right now, and so I'm kind of hearing myself talk as I'm forming this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's why practice is really helpful, and by learning just a few key acknowledgement phrases, you can let go. A lot of it is, for me, especially as we get to the other layers, a lot of it's about letting go of the story and staying with feelings and the need. And so I'm learning to let go of the story and just trying to acknowledge where the other person is so that I can get back to the heart of the matter. And so one of these phrases is, so there's a lot going on for you, or so something happened, or it seems like you're upset, or stuff like that. So really short, pithy phrases can really help.
Thank you for coaching me.
You're welcome. Anjali?
So you have some anxiety about the enormity of this big project.
Yeah, I do.
Thank you, Anjali. And Davina?
Oh, Jari. It's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. Thank you.
Bridget?
You're really recognizing all the work that needs to be done, and you're wanting to get to that.
And there's one more. Joe?
So many people and so much to do.
Yeah.
For the interest of time, I'd like to talk about the second layer at this point. Would that work for you?
Sure.
Yeah. Would you like to say a little bit about your experience of the first layer first, and then anything else you want to add to about that?
I noticed there was so much spinning in me when I spoke, and the simpler responses really helped me to sort of slow down and anchor in. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. So if this was like, I want to say real, this is real.
It's real.
Definitely real. But if we were going to stick with Jari, we might go through maybe five layers of acknowledgement. Who knows how many? One, two, three, four, five acknowledgements before we move on to the second layer, but so that we all have a chance to practice more, we're going to move on to the second layer now and just say a little bit about it. The second layer is much more of what we call traditional empathic reflection in NVC, where you're going to be linking at the causal level. We call it the causal layer of empathy, because we're going to be paying attention to what is the root cause of the person's emotional experience. In other words, what need is going on in them? And the traditional way in NVC that this is often practiced, and this is a fine way of doing it, is to just ask the question, are you feeling, and then you fill in the blank with the feeling, because you're needing blank. And that works. That's a great thing to do, especially in a practice group and in your own writing when you're doing self-empathy and stuff like that. And we found another way to acknowledge the person's causal level that's very brief and to the point, similar to the acknowledgement level. And it's simply to get connected to what we guess the need is in the other person, and to just say, so blank is important to you. So blank is important to you. That seems to help people to stay with their own experience without having to try to figure it out. We're not asking them a question that requires them to go up into their head to look for an answer. Again, we're just acknowledging a deeper level of their emotional experience. Now we're moving to the causal level.
And if we've done the acknowledgement level, there is enough trust that we build at that point that even if we do guess wrong, even though we're making the statement, it's not heard as a diagnosis. It's just an invitation for response. Oh, no, it isn't that. Maybe it's something else. So don't worry about whether you hit it on the nail. Either way, it's pointing to a space that enables someone to go deeper.
Yeah, and even if you completely blow it, and let's say that you're empathizing with someone who's had a lot of NBC training, and they really prefer the "Are you feeling because you're needing guests," that particular strategy, and you say, "So blank is important to you," and they kind of freak out. They say, "Well, you know, what is this? I thought you were an experienced NBC practitioner. What are you doing this weird thing now?" So now you get to choose. What's your intuition? Which level do you want to go to? Do you want to stick with this layer at the causal layer? And you might say, so competence is really important to you, or a deep experience of empathy is really important to you, or whatever your guess is. Or do you go back to up one layer and acknowledge their emotional experience? So this is difficult for you.
Yeah. Or you wanted something different.
Yeah. So it's all workable, as Pema Chodron, the Buddhist nun, has taught me over and over again. It's all workable.
Yeah, I was curious. I like that. So blank is important to you. I like that, the conciseness and brevity of that. But when you first said the traditional NBC thing, are you feeling blank because you're needing blank, well, where does the feeling come into this, so blank is important to you? Or do you just skip that, or that's not?
So often in the acknowledgement piece, we have acknowledged the feeling. And the feeling is really important to acknowledge or to have in there somewhere, often, to give a person a sense that you really get a flavor of the intensity and that emotional tone. There's a real sense of trust that I experience when someone really meets me where I feel. And ultimately, it's really connecting at the need level, where the person who's getting empathy is going to really connect to life and really move into that grounded place of being reconnected to life.
Specifically, in those acknowledgments, I didn't hear a lot of feelings. So I would want to say then, there's some overwhelm for you in the recognition of all the stuff that needs to be done.
Yeah, that would be a great acknowledgement, a great example. And if we stuck with that layer of empathy, like I said, for two or three times, and you might start by acknowledging the observation, then you might acknowledge the wish, and then as the person continues to go deeper, you might acknowledge the feeling. And then it's a real natural bridge then to go to the next layer, the causal layer, and begin to acknowledge at the level of need. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you for that clarity.
Let's practice now, and what I want you to pay attention to is where you sense I am as I speak now, so that you can determine whether I'm at the acknowledgement level, still at the observation and the feeling, maybe even a bit in the story, or whether I'm moving toward the need level, and see if you can pace with me with that. And I'm not quite sure either where I am right now, because I'm now outside talking to you. But Bridget, if you would say the last thing you said to me, then I'll just start from that place and see where I am with all of this. Would that work for you, Bridget?
Yeah. Seems like there's some overwhelm for you in recognizing all the work that needs to be done.
Oh, thank you. It is overwhelming. It's overwhelming to look at how much stuff is here, and it's overwhelming for me because I so care about Jim, and I so care about the family, and I want to find a way to navigate through all of this and to support everybody.
So take this little pause and imagine how you might fill in the blank. So blank is important to you. If you like to try that, or if you prefer to try the "Are you feeling because you're needing," you can also write that down, or you can do both.
Yeah, and wherever you sense you were hearing me, wherever I was.
Okay, Katharina, what's up for you?
So support and contribution are really important to you?
And I'll just report that as we go through it, you know, I'll let you know what I see here. Jory's kind of bowing her head and smiling and shaking it. Tina, what'd you write down, or where are you at?
So, Jory, sounds like mutuality and consideration are important to you.
Yeah.
Joe?
So, caring is important to you.
Yeah, I sense there's caring in me. That points to kind of the feeling that the feeling tone for me. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Jill. And Davina.
So being supportive is really important to you.
Yeah, it really is.
Just as a side line, I want to acknowledge something I just heard Davina do and underline how, at least from my experience, Davina matched Jory's voice tone and pace. And that can also be very profoundly connecting to match the other person with whatever energy level you're sensing. And Anjali?
So carrying in support is really important to you.
And Bridget.
I really get how much you want to, your intention for caring.
Yeah, thanks, Bridget. Can I give you a little coaching?
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with what you just did. And sometimes when we use the pronoun I, which is really common in reflective listening, it can actually be a little jarring and disconnecting for the person receiving empathy, because I usually is an indication that honesty is coming, whereas you can help the other person kind of stay connected to their own heart. What I heard you say was, I get that this need is important to you, and what I would suggest is, so this need is important to you. You get the distinction there?
Yeah, thank you.
Welcome.
I didn't experience that in this one, but I have often experienced that it takes me to paying attention to you instead of me. I didn't experience it this time, though.
I didn't either, but I thought, hey, there's a chance to coach. So thanks for letting me coach.
And I'm right, grateful for that.
Right. All right. So that kind of completes that layer of empathy. And I'd like to just see if there's any questions or comments from anybody before we move to the third layer, third and final layer here.
Yeah, I'd like to actually speak to that, if I could.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, because I actually touched the third level several times during the reflections that I got, the connecting to the need. I found myself really sinking deeply into, it was like, oh, yeah. You might have even heard me respond in that sort of way. It was like, oh, yeah, that is important. And I could just feel that depth of connection. And that's the third layer of empathy, which is just the savoring, being present to allowing that need to just sort of bounce around. I want to use the analogy of a pinball machine, but it's a little too frenetic. But that kind of thing, as it just kind of moves around and flows around inside of me, I could just feel myself filling up with that and moving into a more wordless place. And that's the third layer of empathy, where we just savor with another human being.
The metaphor that comes up for me is sometimes in Hawaii we go snorkeling. And if we're in kind of a sandy area, we can kind of stir up the sand with our hands or our feet. And then as we just kind of get calm and be present in the water, the sand just settles. And then there's a sense of deep clarity. And then you can just kind of be there in the warmth of Maui's cradle as you just be with the fish that now you can see so much clearly. And that's often my experience of the savoring layer, is that the person is really out of words. And the story was like, you know, that was like 15 minutes ago or 45 minutes ago. There's no story left. There's just this sweet experience of the living presence that is within them as they get connected to what the life stirring in them.
And this isn't really necessarily a linear process. I do find that generally it is sort of sifting down from acknowledgement to need and then savoring, but it goes wherever it goes. At that point of touching savoring, sometimes something else comes up that gets stirred up again and into the story, or maybe there's another need that arises. And I suddenly realized, well, I'm also wanting some completion. And so just, and then we just move into, oh, so this sense of completion is important, and maybe I'd settle then, or maybe I'd jump up into, well, then maybe I can move into some plan here, which would be more at the head level rather than the heart level. And it just sort of shifts and changes because we're such dynamic beings, and the empathy is just tracking the person right where they are and keeping our focus on the life of it, not the disconnection of it, but with no real plan. When I'm acting as an empath with somebody, I don't have a plan about where they're going to go. I don't create that intention. I just hold the space and shine light on what I want to call the truth. You know, oh, so someone said something. Or, oh, caring and support is important to you.
Thank you, Julie. Is there any questions that any of you have about this third layer of savoring?
I don't have a question at all, actually. I really love it. And I noticed that probably because maybe the earlier layers weren't really satisfied, I notice, you know, unless I'm with another person who knows NVC and we really go through it at length, we don't seem people around me are getting to that savoring, or maybe there's too much impatience to just move on. So sometimes I feel a bit at a loss, or I'm wanting to experience that because I see how rich it is, and I know how it is when I touch it. I guess partly what's going on is I do have a bit of an agenda there. I want to have them have that experience, you know. And yet, like what often happens is okay, so then there's the reflection, and then I'll, you know, like maybe they get down to where you were, yes, caring and support, and maybe if I could just imagine someone in your shoes, maybe then it's like, yeah, but I'm remembering when so-and-so said this thing now, and now maybe aggravation comes up or maybe some hurt feelings, right? And you're back at layer one. I don't know if you have time or want to on this call, but to model a little bit more of, it seems to me that's how it often goes with people. There's just so much. There's just so much that longs to be heard, you know.
That longing's really deep in you to just be there and hear them.
Yeah, and I guess it's hard for me to know how to, I think maybe I'm wanting to jump ahead to the savoring, and they're really not there. They're just not even there at all. Yet I'm not sure. Sometimes because of the way things jump around, so much story, you know, how people are, story, story, story.
I like the idea of cultivating more patience within yourself.
That may be it. That may be it. Or maybe it's understanding of the process a little bit more. Understanding really what you're saying is what I'm acting. Maybe it's clarity to understand really what's going on here is they're not there yet. There's something else. And now there's some. So it's, Thank you for reflecting that.
So it's really what I'm taking away from this is how precious it is to just be with the person right where they are rather than try to take them somewhere else.
That's what I'm hearing from you. And I think that for some reason, when I think about applying processes such as this, I'm so caught up in, hey, where am I? Where do I go? I lose the sense of presence. And then having it be more organic, maybe, and I mean, I totally appreciate, I love this process. You know, I've learned it from you several months ago, and maybe the frustration is that I want, what is it I'm wanting? I'm wanting to connect with people in a deeper level and to savor with them, and to me, it's just so joyous and rich to savor at that place, but it seems to be rare. So maybe there's just some mourning about longing for more depth and time or whatever it takes to do that with people. Actually, that shifts me, just getting that clarity now. It's a longing for some kind of deep connection. I wasn't even aware that was there. So that's partly what's kind of pushing my agenda, is like, I want to share with this person in something rich. Thank you. Thank you for giving me the space to get that clarity.
I was just savoring like crazy everything you said and really wanting to touch what you were talking about, and it really supported me in deepening my own connection with you, so thank you.
I love that savoring place, and one of the things, just maybe this is helpful for you, one of the things that really works for me is that I get to savor even if someone else isn't.
Wow,
I'm holding that savoring place.
Mm-hmm.
when one of us holds that savoring place, I'm not trying to lead somebody there, but I'm savoring their humanness. I'm feeling the poignancy of even that intense story they're going through. And there's a quality of vibration that we can hold for ourselves that also supports that level of connection. Mm-hmm. Without leading, it's a quality of presence.
Yeah, I know that space. It's very full and rich, and there is patience, but it's just naturally there. It's where I'm centered in myself, and I guess what happens is that I get caught up in the feelings that they're in. I'm empathizing a little bit too much in the sense that I'm taking it on. Then there becomes this need for me to get back to balance, you know?
Yeah.
And then I think I'm subtly leading. This is so subtle. It's for my need to get back to peace and harmony, whatever, in the moment. So now what I'm hearing is you're reminding me that I can choose to stay with the beauty of the need, with the beauty of the, even though it's unmet for the person, I can still savor it, even though they're not there. And I can keep myself in a place of peace, even though they're not in peace. That is a beautiful thought. Thank you.
The thing that's really helped me with that, there's a couple of things. Just this quote that I remember hearing from Marshall that kind of goes through my head a lot, and it's, never think that what you say is empathy. Empathy is where we focus our attention on the heart of the other person. And that really helps me to realize that I don't have to do anything to be in empathy. I just have to be with the other person. That's helped me a lot. See, one other question on the board here.
I was connecting to something about how when you are giving empathy to people and they get empathy for that particular point, that it kind of opens a floodgate. When they see they finally can get some empathy, it's like this floodgate opens and then they just start gushing other things that they want empathy for. So it was not a trigger, but it was like a button got pushed and then they opened up the gates and all the water comes through, kind of. I mean, sometimes I feel like, okay, whoa. So I really got what she said about if we could pause and savor that moment where they got the empathy, but it's like they were so thirsty for this empathy and hungry and starving for it that when it came, I mean, I literally see like a starving person just gorging themselves, seeing the opportunity for more and more and more, that they just go on and on and on. So I'm wondering if you have a tool to deal with the gushing.
Yeah, to savor that energy of gushing. And to remember that there's not a word that I need to say, that I can just kind of flow with that gush for as long as I can do it. And if I can't do it anymore, then I might need to move to honesty. But as long as I can stay in that flow, I'll just stay there, and I don't have to say a word. I can just listen.
We have choice about where we put our focus and exercise that. And now you have three layers that you can be focusing on, in, no matter what you're hearing.
So how about we practice it a little bit? So we've got folk in pairs, and here's what I'm going to suggest. We're going to do this for about 15 minutes, and you can decide whether or not you want to take turns, and both of you both give and receive empathy, or whether one of you would just like to receive empathy and the other one would just like to practice listening. So just take a minute or so and kind of assess what the need is for practice and the need for empathy, and then move into practice. Unless there's an objection, we'll go ahead and put you into your small group. So take a moment, introduce yourself, and then decide how you want to spend this 15 minutes, and then go ahead and do it. Okay, so thank your partners. And we have just enough time to hear from each person about what this was like and what you're taking away from this lesson on empathy. Joe?
I got in touch with some stuff, the work I mentioned in the beginning about I'm not done and washed up. I could make money. I can do stuff. There's a need there to contribute and participate in the world still and to have some meaningfulness in my life. And I got a little aliveness from that and joy and understanding. So that feels good.
Hey, Joe.
So for me, I really enjoyed the experience, and Joe gave me a little coaching at one point. For whatever reason, I felt this need to make a few more empathy guesses, and he reminded me that at some point he was savoring. You know, I mean, he was like just connecting inside himself and maybe my silent presence and just sort of accompanying him in that process might have been more helpful. Yeah, that was a point for me to consider, you know, sort of matching the person's energy. Thank you.
Paul, it was wonderful for me. In receiving empathy, I got just what I needed. It just, the whole experience put me right with inside myself. That's what I wanted. I wanted to just be present with myself, come out of my mind and just experience it. So I was left savoring that. It was not comfortable because it's not complete for me, but that's what I needed to be, and I am. And then I got to practice being very simple and to the point with few words in giving empathy, and I feel very successful with that. I feel very happy.
Great, thanks. Anjali?
I was the person expressing, and the other person was listening and practicing, and it was very helpful for me to notice how what was said, how it felt inside. Actually, that was an incredible learning experience. Yeah, I just really appreciate it. I love doing this exercise. It's extremely helpful. And I also enjoyed giving a little coaching to the other person that satisfied my need to contribute and how much I love contributing in this way.
Thank you. Jennifer and then Bridget.
This is like very, very, very useful for me because I am relatively new to NBC, and just going through the three layers was extremely helpful. And I'm going to start doing more of these exercises because I think this will be very, very helpful for me. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jennifer. Bridget and then Katharina.
I was the one getting empathy, and I'm just really appreciating, went through all the layers and I got to that point of savoring the empathy that she was offering, and I was thinking about what that meant for me. It's difficult for me to receive empathy, I'll say. So when we were trying to figure out who was going to do what, I said I would want some, and I let myself be vulnerable, and I was rewarded. And I thought what it meant for me, and I felt validated by the experience. You know, validation, the word valid comes from the word meaning strong. And I did feel strong. I felt empowered, and I felt held by her through the empathy that she gave me. It met my need for support and shared reality and caring and compassion.
Thank you. Katharina?
I enjoyed giving empathy to Bridget. I enjoyed that the three layers of empathy were slightly different than what I'm used to doing, so I enjoyed trying that out. I have a clarifying question and then one more comment. Clarifying question is that I noticed at the end of the exercise that I understood the third layer to be savoring the needs, and Bridget understood the third layer to be as savoring the experience of perceiving empathy, which is slightly different. So I'd like to know which one you mean.
Yeah, well, we generally mean savoring the need, but I'll take savoring in any form.
When there's empathy in that moment, and then you savor the empathy.
Yeah.
So that might be the need, empathy, but generally we were talking about savoring the need.
Okay. My comment is that I noticed some discomfort in me by today's lesson focusing on the layers of empathy, not in connection to anything having to do with money or abundance or scarcity. And I just think it would have met my need for learning more if we had done the exercise around giving empathy for something that's related to financial questions.
Okay.
Thank you for allowing me to share that.
You betcha. Thanks for sharing. And we'll go then to Lynn.
You began our session today by letting us know that it was focusing on compassion. And I was really curious to see how that was going to unfold. And it unfolded in a very unexpected way for me as we did this series of practices. And I particularly enjoyed this last one in that I had no idea where I was going with it. I chose to be very vulnerable and tackle a topic that I felt quite uncomfortable with. And I found that as a result that I not only experienced a very sweet and nourishing connection, but I experienced just expansive compassion for myself and for others in similar situations and for all those, which means everyone, who are trying to do our best. We're all trying to do our best. So it was quite a rich experience for me.
Thank you, Lynn. And I'm checking out with a sense of savoring. I'm really savoring these comments, savoring the feedback, savoring hearing what your experience was like, savoring the last 2 hours. I'm just kind of blown away that 2 hours has gone by. Just my encouragement is to take these lessons in compassionate listening and empathic listening and take them into the inevitable opportunities to confront money and money issues this week as we all take our journey towards more maturity.
And one of the practices for this week is to actually practice with an empathy buddy. And what I suggest is to make a plan to spend some time in practicing empathy, because this is such a cornerstone of being able to move through this process. And even if we got past all of our innocence, we still need compassion for all the things that happen moment by moment, day by day. We never know what we'll be confronting, and every choice we make is sort of a you win some and you lose some sort of thing. There's mourning, there's regret, there's celebration. And the need for empathy is huge in moving through living in a system, even of economics, the way it is. So I'm going to make all of this live, and we can all say goodbye to each other.